Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. Our guest today is Dustin Milligan. He stars in the new movie, The People We Hate at the Wedding, which is out November 18th on Amazon. You also might know him from things like Schitt's Creek, the 90210 reboot. Dustin, how's it going?
It is going so well. Thank you so much for having me.
I just watched you on Watch What Happens Live, and I think myself and a lot of other Bravo fans, we loved seeing you on that, in that atmosphere, because Bravo, the fan base, we love our shows. And so anytime a celebrity like yourself loves our shows as well, it's a thrill. So I do want to ask you a bunch of Bravo questions, if that's okay.
I mean, I'm happy to only talk about Bravo right now.
Okay, good. What was it like? How was Watch What Happens Live for you?
It was so, it was everything I had hoped for and more. My wife and I, we watch like so many of the Bravo shows, not all of them. We don't watch all of the Housewives, but we watch a lot of them. And, so obviously we watch a lot of Watch What Happens Live, and we were always watching it, just, and she would just turn to me and be like, you would like crush it on this. And I'm like, I want that to be true. I want that to actually come to fruition. And when we started doing press, we were like setting up the press for The People We Hate at the Wedding. I reached out to the PR team and asked like, hey, could you guys like work this out? Because I feel like this is like the perfect movie for this audience. And then also selfishly, I just want to get on there and meet Andy and like ideally sit next to a housewife. And yeah, all of that came true. It just blew my mind.
I love it. What's the housewives that you watch? Which franchises do you tune into?
So we watch, New Jersey. We watch, we don't watch New York currently. We love Salt Lake. We love Atlanta. Potomac, I just started, like I hammered through the first three seasons, and then I'm up to date on the current season. So I have like a bit of a gap to go through, but Potomac to me, I think is probably my favorite. Which everyone was saying for years, like, you gotta watch Potomac. And I finally, took that advice, and I'm very grateful for that. New Jersey, we watched Dallas, when that was on, and, OC, you know, we still tune in, but it's,
Dustin, one's a bit of an effort. Can I just stop you? What I love most about Bravo fans is that we say things like, I don't watch them all. And then you just name them all.
Well, no, but here's what I'll say is I haven't watched Dubai, and then Miami, you know, I caught a few episodes, but that one I haven't totally gotten into.
I'll tell you a secret about Miami. Season 2 of Miami is like one of the greatest of all.
The original season. Yeah, so I did tune in, and this is a long time ago, like when, like before I really kind of dove back into the Bravo world, when I first was introduced to it. And so I was watching a bit back then, and I remember it being very good back then. I probably have to go back and there's only so much time in the day.
I know. Well, you just named 15 shows, and there are a lot to keep up with.
Well, and that's just the Housewives, by the way. I also watch Below Deck, Summer House, Winter House.
Vanderpump Rules, Southern Charm.
Yes, Vanderpump, not Southern Charm. I got to be honest. Southern Charm, I really struggle with.
Yeah, I get it. Let's start with Salt Lake City. So you were on with Whitney Wild Rose. What are you making so far of this feud between her and Heather Gay, Bad Weather? Do you side with either of them? Where do you fall?
So Heather and Whitney are my two favorites on the show. I love them both. And I feel like it's interesting because I always think of the different housewives as sort of fitting somewhere on this Venn diagram of subtypes, where you have the sort of like Mrs. Manners, high society, well-to-do, the richest ones, your grand dames, you know, your Lisa Vanderpumps, your Heather Dubrows, they all fit into one circle. Then you have like the more kind of petty drama seeking housewives. And then you have these dance to your own beat of your own drum Housewives. And I feel like Heather and Whitney are both very much on that last circle where they both do their own thing and don't always necessarily seem to be striving to create drama with each other. And so to see them fight and to see them have this sort of breakdown, it's awful because I love the two of them so much. And I do see, like, with Whitney, with what she's going through, which I'm so appreciative of her being so vocal about her journey and her as she jokingly referred to it as her healing journey,
how she's feeling and her
how she's feeling and her healing journey. But I think it's so beautiful that she opened up about, and that moment was, you know, a genuine moment that was like, you know, not a staged thing. Like they caught that live as it happened. And for her to be so vulnerable and open, I think that's an incredible thing. I do think that she is someone who feels things so strongly that often overrides, I think, a more measured and logical approach to how she engages with people when there's conflict that arises. So I think that's a little bit of what is at play here, where what she's trying to communicate isn't necessarily what's coming out because she's just so overwhelmed with the feelings of everything. And that's where these sort of compiling miscommunications between the two of them have built up to this point where, yeah, like they're really separated, really wedged apart.
It's interesting you say that because it reminds me almost a little bit of Beverly Hills with the Crystal situation that was something that was explored in the reunion, where I feel like Crystal wasn't able to get the other women to understand. It was more about how she was feeling instead of like the logistics of the specific situation.
Danny, it's exactly like that. I'm so glad you brought that up because that was something that, you know, my wife and I, we were like yelling at the TV when you have all of these women, let's face it, of a certain age, of a certain generation, who are saying like, but that's not what you said, but that's not what you said. And they're not able to really comprehend the microaggressions and sort of the difference generationally of how people are communicating and how they're receiving. So like, you know, in terms of Crystal specifically, she felt that when she was engaging in those conversations that it wasn't safe for her. And that, like, I mean, the whole thing about like, you know, I was at a birthday party with my kids and there was, you know, and she's like listing off, like that was so brutal and cringy. And you can understand why Crystal just didn't feel safe in that. But when she says like, it was very dark, there was some dark, you know what I mean? It's like everyone was expecting there to someone to like drop, you know, like
a specific sentence,
a slur or something, yeah, right? Yeah. They're like to all of these women of a certain generation, it felt like they were like waiting for something that was just atrocious and unforgivable in a very obvious and blunt way. But in reality, it's like, it's more nuanced than that. And yes, I do think completely different scenarios, but very comparable in how they approach communication and conflict between Crystal and Whitney is that they feel things so much and that doesn't necessarily translate verbally, but that doesn't mean that it's not valid.
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't even know if Heather Gay understands what's going on. I want them to get over this too. I want them to come together because I also don't feel like Lisa and Whitney's relationship will last. I don't believe that those two actually like each other. I think they're trying to make it work, but I don't think Lisa would have any allegiance to Whitney.
I would venture as to say like, what I think I love about Lisa is that I still can't figure her out. Like she keeps on, even though it's like there's a continuity to how she behaves and what she says, it still is just surprising all the time. And like, I really like, it's not surprising that she is kind of bouncing around to different people looking for alliances, but then it's also not surprising. Like you said, like, I don't think any of these alliances are really going to stick. She's just enigmatic in that way. And I love
it. And that's what makes Salt Lake City so good to me. And I know some people have told me, because we recap a lot of these shows on Everything Iconic, and people are saying they're not into this season of Salt Lake City. And what I love so much about it is that I don't know what's going to happen in each scene. I don't know. I think Jen Shah and Heather have this unbreakable thing. And then all of a sudden there's a scene where Jen Shah is saying, fuck Heather. And so I'm on my toes the whole time that I'm watching it.
Absolutely. And you know, it's funny. I recently started following the Housewives Reddit threads like on Reddit, because it's like, you know, you want to, I'm not one of those people who really cares that much about what's going on in social media and what the tweets mean and the subtweets and all that kind of stuff. But I do sometimes want to get context behind what's happening. And a lot of people are complaining about this season being like, it's, and then also complaining about the editing and complaining about like the slugs, the titles that are coming in and how they're like so tongue in cheek. And I'm like, I think this is great. I think that we need to evolve,
the form.
It needs to sort of go to the next level where we all understand that they know they're on a show. We know we're watching a show. Like the idea of reality is it's never been further from the actual like definition of the word. And that's okay. We need to all be like, you know, breaking down the fourth wall constantly. So, I love it. I do think though that unpredictability, but at the same time, the strangeness of knowing what's going on with Jen Shah it's chaotic and I love it.
And the other thing I mentioned this on the show before too, is like the scenes where normally on the other franchises, we get the axe throwing on every season. We get the 1920s party. And on Salt Lake City, it's like, what the fuck are we doing? We're doing choir auditions now. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. And that's what I'm like, oh, we're doing choir auditions across from a spaghetti factory.
I didn't catch that it was a spaghetti.
There was a spaghetti company factory. Like right across this. It was at the Utah Performing Arts Center. And you could see in the behind them in the window, it just said like spaghetti company or something, spaghetti warehouse.
See, and that's just it. I love it. I think that Salt Lake, not to mention too, the music. I feel like the music in Salt Lake, they found like a new supplier, or they went somewhere different. I'm not just talking about the choral additions to all the songs, but I feel like they're sourcing their music from somewhere else. And now it's across all the franchises where it's a way better, higher quality. I love it. I think it's like, again, Salt Lake City, Atlanta, and Potomac, I think, are leading the charge.
Do you miss Mary Cosby at all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, look, she was very problematic and like, I hated so much of what she was saying. But at the same time, like, she was this really strange combination of like I was saying, like the Mrs. Manners, they're sort of the grand dame type of housewife with the march to the beat of your own drum type. Like, how chaotic it was that she was like acting like she was superior to everybody, but then like living this strange like hermit lifestyle, and then like she farted that one time, like just all you know what I mean, like it's she's so strange and so wonderful in so many ways, but then also like the things she was saying were just terrible and she had to go. There's no question there.
I'm just thinking of this theory that I had when it came to The Real Housewives of New York, which has been off for a couple seasons. I know that the fans who loved particularly middle season, early seasons of New York loved it so much. It was like so important to them, and myself included. But I noticed that people who don't like New York, they couldn't get into it. And I always attributed to the fact that some of these shows like Beverly Hills, I often think you can put on in the background as you're cooking dinner, folding laundry. But something like New York moves really quickly and it's chaotic and there's changing allegiances. And in 1 minute, they could be fighting, and the next season, they could be made up. So if you are doing other things, you're not sure what exactly is going on. And I wonder if that's maybe the disconnect with Salt Lake City too, is like, there's so much moving and you can't just casually watch it. You have to sort of sit and focus on it.
No. Yeah. And I think that's the thing, is that a lot of people, the way they want to sort of absorb reality TV is exactly that, very passively and like on their phones. And some of the franchises you can still do that with, but I think there's certain ones that you can't. And I mean, what a gift that is though.
Yeah, I agree. On Potomac, Candace and Ashley, do you think they could ever be friends?
So again, I'm missing like four seasons of context, right? So, here's what I say. I think Ashley she to me is so fascinating because I just look at her again. I may be missing something here, but like, I think she's one of like low key, one of the greatest villains of Housewives history of all time because she's constantly trying to cause a problem. Mm-hmm. And Candace, I know, has had a lot of moments. I hope that they can find some kind of reconciliation, and because I do love that they're sort of on the younger side of things. And I think similarly to why I love Whitney and Heather, like they fall under, I think, very similar categories in this weird thing that I've done in my head.
I love your Venn diagram, Dustin.
But I do think that they both are like, you know, bucking tradition a little bit and kind of doing things their own way. And I think they're it's better for the show if they are allies to a certain degree, which again, I love too, also that they kind of sort of find that and then yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, and that's what's so great about Giselle and Karen, I think, is that frenemy situation. It's like, we want to see them fight. And then I love when they come together.
And also though, similarly between the two of them though, this is why I find Giselle incredible as well, because at that weird spring taco party, she is so confrontational. Like, she just comes out but I think all of Potomac is like that. And that's why it's such an incredible cast. Like, they all just like right there in the moment say something horrendous or hilarious. And like the way she approached Mia, and it's just like, I love this look. What is this? Cancer? No cancer? It's just like, what? But it almost, you can't say that.
It has the energy of like, we know that we have to get this scene moving. So like, let's get it done and let's get into the meat and potatoes of what the producers want us to do. I feel like that's Giselle's whole vibe. It's like, I know that we can do this quickly. We could do this the easy way or the hard way. And I'd rather get out quick, have a quick day of shooting.
But it is just also like, that's true. And I do think, again, it's important that we as audiences like really acknowledge like there are people behind the scenes really pushing for what is said, how it's said. It doesn't always have that sort of feel of the influence, but it's always there, right? There's always somebody there. And I think that's a really good point that like she's just like probably someone who isn't sort of dancing around what the core message of the producer is for that scene. She's just like, okay, that's what you want. Fine.
And I think she really looks at it like a job. And ultimately, the only person who I think she really has a real tight connection with is Robin. But everyone else, I think she could kind of come and go. And we've seen her feud with pretty much everyone because she's like, well, they're a castmate and we might pretend to have a relationship. But we have to take a quick break here. We'll be back with much more from Dustin Milligan. Isn't Dustin great? I love getting passionate opinions about Bravo. Cannot wait to check out his movie, The People We Hate at the Wedding, on Amazon November 18th. As always, I want to thank Acast. You can find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. If you want a signed copy of my book, it makes a great holiday gift. You can get a signed copy at everythingiconic.store. You can also get a copy at Amazon or your local independent bookstore or wherever you listen to audiobooks. I want to let everyone know that next week for the Thanksgiving holiday, there will be a new episode next week. It will not be a recap episode, but we have some amazing interviews coming up over the next few weeks. I want to let you all know, though, for the holiday season, we might be missing some recaps here and there. Of course, we'll be missing Potomac and Salt Lake next week, I believe. But you can subscribe or follow wherever you listen to the podcast to make sure you get all the updated episodes. But I do have family in town for Thanksgiving, so I want to let you know that. And then Christmas will be coming next month, and so the recap schedule will be a little off. Anyway, all that said, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with Dustin Milligan. The early seasons of Roni, did you watch those, did you say? Or
yeah, like definitely like the first two or three, but it was something where that was one relationship that I was in, and it was sort of based around that. So once that relationship ended and I was like a little single for a while, it didn't continue and then sort of hopped back in.
I like that you're having relationships with women who enjoy Bravo, because otherwise that would be an issue.
Yeah. Well, and I actually think, so my wife now wasn't that into it. And it was actually like a carryover, a gift from my previous relationship where I was just like, have you watched any of these? Cause like, they're pretty good. And you know, I don't, there was a while, like I'm much more invested now in the last few years than I had been. You know, I was usually that guy on his phone or whatever while she was watching. But yeah, I think there's just something about it where I just kept on like hearing things being said and I would just be like, what? What? Why? What? Yeah. But yeah, they have great taste. Maybe not in men, but they have great taste in TV shows.
They have good taste in men too, Dustin. But let's talk about Jersey. So the Melissa and Teresa of it all. It seems like they're not going to be able to move past it. We haven't gotten any footage from the next season, but from what I understand, Teresa and Melissa have this huge falling out. Melissa didn't go to Teresa's wedding. And I don't know, filming for the following season, which is, we're looking into a crystal ball for years from now. But I wonder if it seems to me like Teresa's done. She was just on my show last week, and I think she's done with Melissa and Joe.
Yeah, and
happens then? So what happens?
I'll be honest. I never loved that conflict. Mm. I never really loved it. It always, to me, felt like something where I was just like, I'll be blunt. I'm not a huge Teresa fan. I know she's like a queen of the franchise, but in a lot of ways, it's incredible. Like I said this on Watch What Happens Live, like she literally creates her own reality that she lives in, or maybe I didn't say that, but like that's, but like she like create, she lives truly as somebody who lives in her own reality. And, it bothers me how, hypocritical and contradictory she can be. And like, in a way that I know sometimes it's exciting and funny and delicious and you love it with them, but for her, there's something about it where I don't love it. And I don't love how badly she treats Joe and Melissa. That being said, I'm starting to get some of this like context, because I know everybody hates Melissa and Joe right now. And so I'm starting to get this context of like how they got on the show and fighting to like sort of ride her coattails or something. And like, she didn't even know they were going to be on the show.
I think there's still a lot of unanswered questions about that too. And I think it's still a little bit confusing, and both of them seem so steadfast in their stories of how this happened, of them coming on the show. And yeah, it's confusing to me, but I wonder though, if Bravo has to choose, because it seems to me like they're not going to film anymore. And so if Bravo has to choose between Teresa and Melissa, just from a scientific aspect, or I don't know what the right term, but just looking at it, just looking at it from what I know about Bravo, it seems to me like they would put their money behind Teresa more than Melissa. But then, and even when I look at the other women, I look at people like Margaret and Jackie who went to Teresa's wedding, I think even they know on some level, like that's where their bread is buttered.
Yeah.
And so then that leads me to believe, then will they just get rid of Melissa and Joe? Because we saw with Kathy and Rosie, they just have to, they can't be on an island unless Teresa decides to step away from the show. But, and I know Bravo doesn't like ultimatums. And so I don't know that Teresa would ever give like an ultimatum.
I think she would. I think she specifically would.
Yeah, yeah.
I do think, frankly, she's one of the few people who kind of could.
And that's probably what she did exactly with Kathy and Rosie.
I do think that. I mean, here's what I'll say, which is sort of disheartening about the whole thing, is like Melissa and Joe on their own, I actually do enjoy them as personalities. And I never loved that it was always sort of framed as conflict with Teresa, because I was just like, I feel like there's, if they could step away and just develop storylines outside of that, it would be fruitful. And then I also, the most heartbreaking thing is then we wouldn't have, which I think New Jersey is the only franchise to do this successfully, is to have, you know, the gang of husbands hanging out and like actually have these very entertaining entire B storylines, throughout episodes of just the boys hanging out. So it were, which I actually really love, like Frank and Tanya.
Jersey
and Joe
works
and Joe.
In that way.
Yeah.
I think Married to Medicine to me does it the best. I don't know if you ever dipped your toe into that.
No, I haven't ever seen that.
It's
no.
really good. But they do good with the men, where it's I'm invested in their storylines. Mm. But then also, you think about that. Okay, so they get rid of Joe and Melissa. What happens to those men scenes? Because I really feel like Joe does drive a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, it's like Frank alone can't, you know what I mean? Like he's the ultimate sidekick to Joe. And then when you think about their stature, it's hilarious too. But yeah, that's the one thing that I think it would be really heartbreaking about it, is if we sort of lost that, because I do think that for me personally, that's a big reason why New Jersey is really working right now, is because of this sort of totality of their lives being explored through also seeing the men have their own issues with each other, and then how they sort of deal with their various wives.
It also depresses me a little bit, just the, I'm Italian and the family of it all, to just know that this family was completely torn apart because of reality TV is like so kind of bleak when you think about it. And obviously there were other issues too, but
yeah,
it's tough. Okay. So Craig Conover, you hate him? What's the deal?
I think so. Here's just to be blunt, like
I have a lot of thoughts too.
I haven't watched Southern Charm, because there was just a lot about it that, you know, not to generalize, but just didn't appeal to me. Craig and Austin, I feel like I've seen them through the Summer House and the Winter House lens. And yeah, I don't think they're good. I don't know how else to say it. Like their behavior, like again, this maybe is not indicative of who they really are. Maybe they're completely departing from their actual instincts and the nature of their true personalities in order to make great television. If that's the case, then certainly I'll eat my words. But I have a pretty strong feeling that's not the case. I have a pretty strong feeling that they get drunk and act like dickheads. And they're just, I think, really good examples of what is so heartbreaking about the dynamic between men and women in romantic relationships. Because, you know, whether it's with Paige or, my God, I'm totally forgetting.
Austin and Sierra.
Austin and Sierra, yeah. And it's like, and like Sierra too, like, the how emotional she got in Winter House, like how, when she was saying like, no, I know you're a good guy, I know you're this other thing. It's like, you can see her justifying why she allowed herself to get hurt by this pretty brutal guy who treated her awfully. It's a
awfully
way for her to,
on camera in front of a national audience. Yeah.
And like double down on it three times, sextuplet double down on it or whatever. And you can see her in that moment where she's like getting all emotional, being like, I know this is not who you are and you're better than that. And she's crying. And it's like, you can just tell that this is actually a manifestation of the subconscious truth inside of her that she needs to justify why she's staying with this guy. So she has to convince herself and therefore convince him and everybody else that he's actually not like this, when it's like, well, he's only shown you that this is how he is.
Right.
Sorry, I know you asked about Craig, but that was just an tangent. But I feel it's the same. I think it's the same for both of them.
Yeah, yeah. You know, what's interesting about Southern Charm is that there was this one really beautiful season. I don't remember which number it was, sort of in the middle. And it really was about these women in Charleston confronting the good old boy system.
Yeah.
And these particularly older men, there was a guy, I think his name was like JD, and there was this guy Thomas on there. And these women really came together, and this whole season felt like it was about women empowerment. And I loved seeing the women come into these roles. And the frustrating thing as a viewer, it was like we had that great season, which I think was probably the last good season of Southern Charm. And then instead they back then the men like Austin and Craig, the network meaning, it's like then they are the ones who are now doing the spinoffs. And it just frustrates me because I'm like, man, we had some great moments with these strong women. And then it seems sometimes like the network tends to back these men who treat these women terribly.
Yeah. And again, I don't mean to laugh at that, but. No, it is though, like it's heartbreaking because, you don't know what the reasons are behind them. And that's the, what you said, it's frustrating because, you don't really know why that trend, kind of continues, but, certainly I can say that, from what I gather online, again, I'm not super invested in that, but, a lot of people feel this way. But then you just have other people, I think, who again are watching a bit more passively and, you know, it is just kind of about what the title says, like the Southern charm of it, all of these guys.
I want the best for Paige too. I love Paige.
Well, Paige to me is like, not that you necessarily want to do this, but like you could launch onto a housewife show the instant you get married. And like to me, she's like a Bethany. Like she can just launch in, be sort of the underdog who, you know, doesn't have that traditional family, whatever thing that Bethany, you know, was sort of her launching point on Roni. But like, yeah, love Paige. So
I think
funny.
She's got also just like an on camera sort of it factor to me.
Absolutely.
And maybe not everyone agrees with that. I'm sure there's people yelling or rolling their eyes, but I feel like Paige has that. She loses it with Craig.
No, it's that thing where, again, the dynamic between, as I've observed it, like straight men and women, when it's like there's these ingrained ideas of how you're supposed to behave as a woman or as a man. And that, of course, is heightened when you're on camera. And unfortunately, what it seems like for both Paige and Sierra on the houses, is that it's what is being enhanced is this sort of ingrained idea of that you need to be small for your man. You need to diminish yourself for your man. And it's like, it's horrific because both of them, but especially Paige, I feel like she's bigger than everybody on that. Like her, what she has to offer, her personality, and also like her wit. I think that's the thing. Like she's just so funny and sharp. And you can tell that it's not lines that she's being given. Like she's saying this, you know, off the cuff, and deserves more.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to hop back to Beverly Hills for a second. Now, the three-part reunion, did you have a side when it comes to the Lisa Rinna? I also want to know, like, what do you think the casting should look like next season? They're going to be taking some months off, apparently, and then regrouping. They're not going right into filming, but what do you think should happen there?
So for the first part of your question, I feel like, and this sort of came up on Watch What Happens Live too. Like I don't take a side for either of them. I think both of them are telling half truths and, one and a half lies. Like I feel like they're, you know what I mean? Like they're both very much like just dropping in some of the truth, just enough to kind of get by, but it's all sort of, icing on a cake of lies. if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that whole thing, I just was like, Rinna, you know, I know people have really hated her for a long time. I personally found her just kooky enough to be still interesting for a while. I think when the whole confrontation with Kathy at Kyle's house, when it was supposed to be about Kathy apologizing to Kyle, and then like how she was quite literally performing as though she's on like a scripted soap opera, you know what I mean? Like the way she was delivering it, it was bizarre.
And it happened with Denise too, that towards the end of Denise's season, they had a sit down and it was just like, we're performing a soap opera. And that's fun to watch, I think.
Yeah, it is. But it's also, and again, that's that thing too, like which with Teresa, I do find incredible, but that Rinna also like, to a certain degree, she's a little bit more grounded with it, but is living in her own reality in a way that's very entertaining. In terms of the future cast, look, I love, Garcelle. The controversial opinion, I love Kyle. Mm-hmm.
I think the two of them are great together running the show too.
Yeah, no. And yes. And absolutely. I do think that's sort of, what's clear is that they are driving it now. Crystal, to be honest, I would love to see her continue because I thought she was actually a great kind of antithesis to what you expect out of the Housewives, and like her eating disorder journey, I think was beautiful. And I really wanted that to continue, to sort of show her exploring that, you know, similar with Jackie. I think it's a really important thing to get out there.
I think Crystal will find her footing too, because I think she hasn't been a perfect housewife the past couple of years, but I feel like if we give her another season, I really think she could, in the same way I think Garcelle sort of stepped into her housewife-ness this past season. I feel like Crystal has it in her to be a really good housewife.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, I really do think that, cause she does have that wit. And again, she's like sort of zoomed out from the rest of the fray of it all in a way that I think is really, it's great for the dynamic. So, I mean, like, you know, Sutton, while I don't love her, I do think like she plays a role that is sort of within the dynamic of everybody. She is the current, grand dame, Mrs. Manners and my Venn diagram. She is that, which, you know, is great. And then, you know, all the stuff with Erica, I think anyway, so those would be like my core if I could. And then I think kind of doing a half version of what Roni's doing, I think it would really be beneficial to sort of bring in some younger sort of alternate versions and have a bit of a generational clash thing happen, not just like with Crystal, but like to have more. And actually, in a great way, that might reinforce and kind of allow Crystal to flourish a bit more, as if there were younger cast members next to her that would sort of see things more from her perspective.
We're so aligned, Dustin. I feel the same way. I don't think we need...
Are we best friends, Danny?
I feel like we have the exact same opinions on that. I think, especially Dorit, I would like to see her popping in. Like, I don't want to get rid of her completely. I just don't know that we need her full time.
Dorit is... It's funny that with Sutton, Erica, Rinna, and Dorit, they all have this thing where they speak so specifically, it's like they're doing a bit. I mean, Sutton, I know it's just like an accent kind of sometimes, but it's also like she's doing a bit of like a Southern belle. And then like, yeah, Dorit, I mean, obviously is doing an accent because isn't she from like North Carolina or something?
Yeah, she's doing some accent work. Sutton always reminds me like she has peanut butter in her mouth and I'm just shouting at the screen, like speed it up a little bit. And I imagine producers are like, okay, you have to get your thought out quicker.
Yeah. No, yeah. A lot of her, yeah, like in the talking heads and the interviews things, a lot of her is just like reacting and going like, what? Instead of actually speaking words. Yes.
Anyone you would like to pop back in? Would you like a Brandy to pop back in? A Denise Kim Richards, Eden Sassoon?
I think Denise would be great. I think, again, because it would sort of bring like her relationship with Garcelle. I think there's still stuff there. And I do think there's something interesting if Rinna is gone, if she doesn't come back, which I don't know, that's going to happen. But if she doesn't come back, and Denise, I think as a pop in would be really nice. And again, Brandy too. I'm revealing a lot here. Through Reddit, I got to see clips of BravoCon and then also on Ultimate Girls Trip, because she's on that on Ultimate Girls Trip too, right? Brandy. I was like, oh yeah, I remember. Like she was so iconic for so long. And I was like, yeah, this, if she can muster up some drama, it might be nice.
Dustin, I know I got to wrap with you. So let me just ask you a couple quick little lightning round sort of things. A quick Diane Keaton story from Mac and Rita. You starred with her and she's the best. Was she the best? Can you just,
she was
at least
so
tell
wonderful. She was so wonderful and like so real and, was one of the funniest things that I appreciate so much about creating the dynamic between the two of us is that she would walk onto set every single time, including the first time she ever saw me, and was just like, is it too late to get somebody else for this? Can we? And like threatening to fire me all the time. It was very funny and really disarming and sort of allowed us to just sort of, you know, engage as real people. And indicative of who she is.
Favorite Mariah Carey song?
The one with Jay-Z, I guess.
Heartbreaker. Good choice.
Yeah.
Schitt's Creek, will there be a reunion movie or something? I know you probably get so sick of that, but
I have no idea. No one tells me anything. I'm like the ninth guy on the call sheet there. So
I felt like I had to ask you a Schitt's Creek question, but then I was like, he answers this all the time. Who wants to ask him the same question? I love decorating the house and getting furniture, but sometimes it could be overwhelming to design a space. And so luckily I'm here to tell you about a company called Cozy. Now Cozy is fantastic. A North American company that thoughtfully designs furniture made for modern living. Now, Cozy strives to provide the best furniture shopping experience with elegant, super high quality products, plus fast delivery and easy assembly, which is really important to me because I do not like putting together furniture. So the easier, the better for me. Now, Cozy offers beautiful, customizable sofas and sectionals that are made to adapt in time. This means customers can add seats to the sofas over time. Maybe if you're extending your family, you might want more space on the couch. Cozy also offers a great range of coffee tables, washable rugs, wall shelving, credenzas, TV stands, and accessories. So much. It's thoughtfully designed furniture made for modern living. There's an outdoor sofa and tables collection that is fantastic. It's called the Mistral. So you can choose the perfect sofa configuration for your outdoor setup. Cozy also opened its first retail space on Queen Street in Toronto to push the experience to the next level and allow customers to engage physically with the products. So transform your living space today with Cozy. Visit cozy.com, spelled Cozey, to start customizing your furniture today. Again, that's Cozy, Cozey.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Okay, the people you meet at the wedding, tell us about that. It comes out November 18th on Amazon. People are going to get so mad at me because I talked about Bravo for an hour.
It's totally fine. It's the people we hate at the wedding. Yes. Yeah. It's this really funny, raunchy, but also kind of like there's some very impactful, nice moments about family dynamics and dysfunctional family stuff. And it's all about this family that has a lot of problems, a lot of cracks in the veneers, and they go to London for this wedding and it kind of all blows up. And in sort of picking up the pieces, they find a new kind of version of their family that I think, again, it's very sweet, but very like funny and sharp and raunchy and just a good time. Great movie. Look, watch some Housewives and then just like flip over to Amazon and stream it.
And this time of year right now, we're heading into Thanksgiving week with all of our families. And it feels like the perfect movie to watch with your parents, with your in-laws, with whoever.
Yeah.
I also have to say, I love Claire Scanlon, who directed it. She did Set It Up, which is one of, if people haven't seen it, it's one of my favorites. It's a romantic comedy with Glenn Powell and Zoe Deutsch.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah. And it's so, so good. And she directed this. So I'm so excited to watch it because I feel like she does a good job of having really good laughs, because sometimes we see a movie that's like a comedy, but there's no laughs.
No, she's great. And like, there's a bunch of amazing set pieces. Ben Platt has some incredible set pieces, like these very funny moments in his sort of storyline. Allison Janney, who's hilarious, just,
I mean, come on, Allison
effortlessly.
Janney.
She's also just so funny. And Kristen Bell, who I did most of my stuff with, is incredible and just so engaging and just crushes it. And then Cynthia Dye Robinson as well, who people might recognize from the Lord of the Rings series, is also just so great, and an incredible English accent for somebody who is not British.
Amazing. Did you ever work with any Bravo celebrities acting wise? Because I know Sheena was on 90210, but I think it was like one of the later seasons.
Yeah, because I got canned after the first season. I've met a bunch before. So after that, I was once invited to like throw a pitch at a Dodgers game, and it was like me, Mel B, Gretchen, and Slade, and the manager from Borat, the guy who played from Borat. I recognized her from the show, obviously, and I was like, hey, nice to meet you. And she's like, hi. I haven't worked with them, but I met her. I met Billy and James from Vanderpump at an award, and Sandoval. I met him there too. Whitney, and I'm probably forgetting someone else, but definitely have run into them. It's sort of
in the wild
IRL, which is always kind of more interesting because they're surprisingly not dramatic at all.
Yeah. Dustin, what a pleasure to talk to you on behalf of all of the Bravo community. We love hearing your hot takes. So thank you so much for stopping by. Everyone's going to check out The People We Hate at the Wedding, November 18th on Amazon. Thank you.
Thank you, Dustin. So much.
What a pleasure.
Yeah.